Things are difficult, in other words. Yeah? That's okay. We just need to remember when we are born here as human beings or in any kind of world, in these 31 realms of existence, yeah? In our heart there's evil, and in our heart there's goodness. Yeah? And on us, you know, it depends, you know, to accept the evil in our heart and to get rid of it, you know, and to turn everything into goodness. Yeah? The moment you hide it, you cannot correct it. Yeah? So, accept it, yeah, and get rid of it through investigation. So how long do we want to stay, you know, in the samsara vata? What is it in English? The round of rebirth? How long do we want to stay there? I call it the hamster wheel. Yeah? Yeah? Everybody, you know, especially in the West, knows the hamster wheel. We run and run and run, but actually we don't go anywhere. We always stay at the same point. Yeah? In the hamster wheel. People like to get free, yeah? I mean, they need to open the door of the hamster wheel to get out, yeah? And that's where the Lord Buddha comes into place, yeah? He showed us the door, but it's so difficult, yeah, to open it up. When we think about ourselves, first of all, we are caught in the prison of this body. It's a prison. We cannot get out, yeah? We have to die to get out, and yeah, because we love this prison so much, we get into the next prison, in the next body, and then on and on and on. Yeah, no matter if it is a human body or if it is a heavenly body or if it is a body in the hell realms or in the ghost realms or in the demon realms, yeah, or in the animal realms. Yeah, we love this body so much. Yeah. That's why we have to understand, you know, the nature of the body, the nature of the prison, the nature of our imprisonment. Yeah? I mean, that is not the only prison we live in. Yeah, I mean, the prison of the body, yeah, when we get free of the prison of the body, there's still the prison of the universe. We have to get free of this universe, yeah? Getting out of samsara. And the Lord Buddha, you know, gave us the Four Noble Truths, yeah? The first Noble Truth, yeah? For most of us, it can be a motivation to practice as hard, or as efficient as possible. It's the truth of dukkha. What is dukkha? Discontent. Dis-ease. Suffering. Pain. Not being contented, yeah? That is dukkha. Yeah? I mean, there are two forms of dukkha. It's a bodily dukkha. Yeah? We constantly cope with it. Yeah? In the morning when we get up, we don't want to get up. Yeah? So we go, yeah, and put our head on the other side, you know, and sleep. Yeah. Then hunger is dukkha. Yeah. Thirst is dukkha. Yeah. Needing to go to the toilet is dukkha. And then being tired is dukkha. That's only the dukkha of the body. For that, you know, we have our measures, you know, we can get rid of this bodily dukkha, yeah? I mean, when we're tired, we sleep. When we're hungry, we eat. You know, when we're thirsty, we drink. And when we need to the toilet, you know, we relieve ourselves of the shit, yeah? So that's how we get rid of the dukkha of the body. Yeah? But we have to do that constantly, day in, day out, yeah? So most of the people are just concerned about the body. Yeah, I mean, when you look at the world, they only think about their body. Yeah, worried about the body, worried about health, worried about this. Yeah, worried about the future, worried about, you know, what is going to happen in the future. Yeah, in accordance with the body, worried about, you know, not having money to feed themselves or to clothe themselves. Constant worries, yeah? And it's all within the realm of the body. The other thing is, you know, the dukkha of the heart, yeah? the dukkha, you know, I mean, that we are discontent with this, discontent with that. We don't like this person or we like that person, and so on. We want to be this and we don't want to be that. We want to meet this kind of people or we don't like to meet that kind of people. That is the dukkha of the heart. Yeah? And the better we understand the First Noble Truth, the more motivation do we actually have, you know, to get out. Yeah? That is only one. It's only one of the doors to get out of the hamster wheel. The other is, you know, to see everything as impermanent. Whatever we have created, you know, vanishes. Yeah? Whatever thought we had, it disappears. Whatever memory we have disappears. Yeah, it comes and it goes. It comes and it goes. Yeah, whatever feeling we have, you know, disappears. It comes and it goes. It comes and it goes. Yeah. This is the second door. Yeah. Anicca, you know, some people can use this anicca, you know, I mean, it's all futile, yeah? I mean, you build a business and it is destroyed, yeah? Or you die, yeah? And then you have to build the business again. Hmm? I mean, nothing, there's nothing that you can take with you, yeah? Except for your karma. The good karma and the bad karma that is created, yeah? By you, yeah? From day to day, yeah? Every thought creates karma. Yeah? Every word, you know, creates karma. Yeah? Every action creates karma. Yeah? And be it, you know, positive karma or negative karma. And sooner or later, we have to receive it. That's why also in English, we have, you know, we have the saying, don't do unto others what you don't want others to do unto you. For whatever is happening to you right now is what you have done unto others. You cannot blame anybody, huh, or any government, or, you know, this person or that person for what is happening to you. It's all your own doing. That's difficult to understand, yeah? And it's difficult to accept as well. So that's why we only talk about it, you know, in these kind of circles in meditation, people who are interested in meditation, yeah? Because if you tell this, you know, to people in the world, they won't understand it. Yeah? And they will get angry. Because they think, you know, I mean, it's the fault of the husband, it's the fault of the wife, it's the fault of the boss, you know, it's the fault of this person or that person or of the government or whatever, yeah? When they are Christians, it's fault of God, you know, yeah? When they are Muslims, it's the fault of Allah, yeah? But when we are Buddhists, we cannot say it's the fault of Buddha. No, it's our own doing. Yeah? Whatever happens to us, yeah, be it good or be it bad, it is of our own doing. Yeah? Karma is so important to understand. Yeah? There are only few people, you know, yeah? If not even an arahant does completely understands karma, the law of karma. Yeah? The Lord Buddha understands it. Some of the arahants understand it. Yeah? It's rather difficult. It has so many nuances, you know, I mean, it's rather difficult to understand. So what did I do? How did I teach myself? Okay, whatever happens to you is a result of your karma. You know, no matter if it is true or not, you know, I mean, 99.9% of the time it is true, yeah? So, deal with it, yeah? Find a fault, you know, within your own characteristic tendencies that leads to this kind of karma and then, you know, destroy it, yeah? You don't do these kind of things, you know, that you don't want to get back, yeah? You only do the things, you know, that you do and say the things that you want to get back. Hmm? Difficult. It goes against the grain, yeah? So dukkha is the first noble truth, yeah? And our desire, the second noble truth, tanha, you know, is the desire to be, the desire not to be, the desire, you know, to become or not to become, desire to want and not to want, yeah? That creates all the dukkha, yeah? The mental dukkha, you know, in our heart, yeah? And the fourth noble truth is that's why we are here. We want to get out of this hamster wheel, yeah? We want to be able to open the door. But it is not easy, yeah? The path that leads to the end of dukkha is sila. Yeah, it's the 5 precepts, or when we are here in the monastery, it's the 8 precepts. Yeah? You can read it down there, you know. If you have questions, you can ask. Yeah? I mean, it's pretty simple. But then what is more difficult is to get the mind calm. Yeah? The mind, to get the mind calm is we need to meditate. Yeah? And meditation is to concentrate, you know, either on the breath or on the Buddha. Yeah? And know what how the breath is or know how the Buddha is. Yeah? This knowingness is important. Buddha just explained it. You know, he doesn't explain it very... in very detail, but he says, you know, I mean, we concentrate on one thing, yeah, on anapanasati, and we know, and the knowingness is the sati, yeah, and the sati is this awareness of what is going on what we concentrate, yeah. So, for instance, because we live here in the forest, you can look at the squirrels, you know, yeah, you can concentrate on the squirrels, you know, but you know what they are doing. This is the knowing that we need to develop. Most of the people in the West just, you know, develop concentration. Yeah? And if you do it, you know, if you just develop concentration, it leads to a form of calmness. But it never leads to complete, you know, samadhi. Yeah? We have to know, we have to get absorbed. Yeah? I mean, some people, you know, translate samadhi as absorption. Yeah? But samadhi normally is concentration. We concentrate on anapanasati, you know, and we know how the breath is. Is it the in-breath? Is it the out-breath? Is it long? Is it short? Is it deep? Is it shallow? Yeah? Is it rough? Yeah? We don't want to manipulate the breath. We want to know how the breath is. Yeah? And in the beginning, we have to explicitly, you know, ask ourselves, how is the breath at the moment if you don't know it, yeah? If we already know it, you know, I mean, then we don't need to explicitly raise our awareness of it, yeah? So we tell, this is long in-breath, or this is a short in-breath, this is rough, this is, you know, yeah? Just to get aware of the knowingness that knows the breath, yeah? And, yeah, after we do it for a while, we don't need to do it, yeah? But this knowingness is so important, yeah? When you think about, you know, when you think about sila, samadhi, yeah, and panya, wisdom, you know, I mean, there are only 2 weapons that we have to fight the kilesas. And that is called sati, this awareness, and panya, wisdom, yeah. And only these 2 can destroy any kind of kilesas, yeah. If it becomes mahasati, mahapanya, then it's a great wisdom and the great sati. I mean, that can destroy even avicca, yeah? But, you know, at the moment it is, you know, it is the little sati, yeah? Or hardly any sati, hardly any panya, you know, that hardly can destroy anything, yeah? So we need to, first of all, you know, we need to get into samadhi, yeah? So we focus, you know, we focus in the beginning if it is difficult, we focus on Buddha with breathing in and Do with breathing out, yeah? Until, you know, until it is getting too complicated and we stay with the Buddha or stay with the breath, yeah? And then we focus on the breath, yeah? And then we try to develop. Once our mind doesn't go out so quickly, yeah? Then we focus on the knowingness of the breath, huh? Or the knowingness of the Buddha. In the beginning, you know, when the mind constantly goes out, you know, I mean, we don't even need to focus on that. We just need to bring the mind back to the Buddha or back to the breath, yeah? And the breath, you know, we focus in the beginning at that around the tip of the nose, yeah? We can feel it in the beginning, feel that the breath goes in, feel that the breath goes out, yeah? And we do that until we reach a state of samadhi, yeah? And when we reach a state of samadhi, yeah, if it is really samadhi, I mean, then the kilesas are locked out, yeah? Everything, all the disturbances are locked out. We are not interested in what is happening around us. Sometimes we are not even interested in what is happening within the realms of the body, yeah? We are just interested in our Buddha or in our breath, yeah? And we feel, you know, we feel a sort of, you know, stillness, yeah, or feel peace, you know, or calmness, or whatever, you know. That depends on the characteristic of every person. For every person it will be different, yeah. Some people feel pity, you know, a joy, you know, and other, you know, just feel, you know, extreme pity, you know. Sometimes, you know, it happens, you know, that, you know, tears are running down our cheeks because we have never experienced anything like that, yeah. That can happen, yeah. And if we really want to know, if we enter samadhi, the moment we come out, yeah, I mean, we feel rested, yeah. Just like we had a deep sleep, we feel rested and energized and concentrated. And if we can do that every day, and then we can start to do the investigation, yeah, that get rid or that diminish the kilesas or diminish the power of the kilesas, investigation of the body. Yeah? Because that's where greed and hatred are located. Yeah? The body, you know, is the cause for most of our troubles. Yeah? Because if we have overcome the body, you know, or if we have gone outside, yeah, if we have left the prison of the body, I mean, we are already at the stage of an agami, of a non-returner who doesn't come back in any of these realms, you know. He still has 5 more realms to go before he can enter Nibbana, but, you know, that is in, yeah, for normal people or normal beings, non-attainable, only for anagamis, yeah. Otherwise, you know, we are born in, you know, in one of these 31 realms of existence, yeah. Be it the heaven or be it the hell, be it the ghost realm or the animal realm, yeah, or the human realm, yeah. And then we have to start over again, yeah. We die and we are born again, you know, and then we have to start over again, yeah. And it's the same with the practice, yeah. We practice a little bit in this life, yeah, and in the next life we might practice a little bit, yeah. In one life we ordain, you know, maybe for 10 years, and then we get tired of it, yeah. In the next life, you know, we might not want to ordain, you know, don't want to become monks, you know. And then after 10 or 15 lives, okay, let's try it again, yeah. And it takes endless times, you know, I mean, to come to a state, you know, where we are ready, you know, to fight until the end, yeah. Each time, you know, I mean, you see it, you know, with everything, you know, that you have done in your life, you know. If you want to accomplish something, it is not easy. You have to do it step by step by step by step, yeah. I mean, think about your own, you know, your own education, yeah. I mean, how did you start when you come out of the womb? You learn, you know, you learn to walk, you learn to talk, then you learn to read, then you learn to write. Yeah, I mean, how long does it take, you know, to educate this body, yeah, until you can use this body fully, you know, 16 or 17 or 18 years, yeah? And next life you have to do the same thing, because, I mean, when you're born as a human being, you forget everything, yeah? And you have to train it again, yeah? So with everything, you know, meditation we have to train, yeah? Speaking a language we have to train. Yeah. And if you don't speak it for 30 years, like I used to speak French, you know, quite well, yeah. But now I can't speak it anymore, yeah. I have to retrain it, you know. Of course it comes back faster, yeah, than when I started it, yeah. But, you know, that's the same with meditation. We stop meditation, you know, for 10 or 15 years, you know, and then we start over again. And it is difficult, yeah, in the beginning. Until we come back to some state where we remember, you know, how it's going, you know, and then we can go on, yeah. We progress a little bit, yeah. And each life we might progress a little bit, yeah, until we come to a stage, you know, where we are, where we're so fed up with the world, you know, I mean, that we don't want to think about anything else in our practice, yeah? The practice of samadhi and the practice of investigation. Investigation of this body, yeah? I mean, ask yourself, you know, yeah? Go through, yeah? I mean, that's what you can do with little concentration. Go through your life, yeah? When you were born, you know, when you went to school, you know, when, how was it when you learned to walk? How was it when you learned to talk? Go back in memory, because we remember everything. We just don't care to remember. But we can remember, if we want to remember, we can remember everything. When we went to kindergarten, when we went to primary school, to secondary school, or to high school, How was it, Then ask yourself, how often do I want to do this again and again and again, I mean, the perfect life, you know, for going out of the hamster wheel, of course, is the human life, Every Lord Buddha is born as a human being. And his most concern is for the human beings to teach them the way out. So, this is the jumping board. And there's a reason why it is called, why it is called the easiest, easiest realm of existence where we can go out. Because we have enough dukkha and we have enough sukha. Sukha is the happiness, dukkha is the unhappiness. So we can see, We can see or investigate it, I mean, this is sukha, this is dukkha. And where is the sukha coming from? Where is the dukkha coming from? I mean, if we are in heaven, if we are happy, most of the time, I mean, who wants to do this kind of work? Who wants to sit down, and fight against the kilesas, this obnoxious force, that keeps us in the prison, or you can call it prison guards, who wants to fight them? If they are happy, nobody comes, Nobody comes to a monastery, nobody comes to a meditation course, if he's happy. If he's satisfied, there's no need for us to do it. So in the heavenly realms, there is too much sukha, too much happiness, so that most of the beings there don't even practice, And in the hell realms, there's too much dukkha, you don't even have time, I mean, you have to suffer, constantly suffer, In the ghost realm, you still have too much dukkha, in order to be able to practice, So, that's why the human life form, the human life form with its sukha and its dukkha, I mean, it's a perfect place, for finding the way out. And that's why all the Lord Buddhas are born in the human realm, And they attain, their enlightenment here in the human realm, And they teach mostly in the human realm, Sometimes they teach up in the heavenly realms, But, this is the path, This is our human life. This is our opportunity, at least, to come close to the gate or to open it, To enter the stream as a Sotapanna, Or as a once returner, Or go to Anagami or even to Arahantship. That depends, of course, of our work, And you will see the results, after a while, when you practice, But if you found, if you found your way to a forest monastery, then you already have, you already have found the proper path, to open the gate, I mean, then it depends on you how many lives you have to spend in a forest monastery, to actually open the gate and go through it, Lungda Mahabua called his, what Papanta, the forest monastery, the forest university, where you can get 4 degrees, Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami, and Arahantship, But there are a lot of monasteries, who are, just like kindergarten or primary school or secondary school or high school, Most of them actually are, Because we have to, we cannot, I mean, when you're 5 years old, you cannot go and enter university. It is impossible. You have to get the basic education before you can, Before you can enter university. And it is the same thing with practice, Meditation, Going the path to the end of dukkha. That's the same thing, I mean, you have to go step by step, The first thing that we learn, you know, in kindergarten is, you know, we watch all, you know, in these picture books, you know, I mean, we see the Lord Buddha when he went some Pindapar, Armstrong, or sits with people and teaches the people, you know, and we find a little bit of faith in him. Yeah? And the more education we have, the more faith we get into his teaching, yeah, until, you know, we go to the high school where we start actually to practice, yeah. In the beginning, you know, we read and read and read and read and understand, and the more we understand, and the more trust we have, and, yeah, and sooner or later we start to practice, yeah. At the end of our high school terms before we go to university, where we don't need to read, where we don't need to learn anything, where we just practice, yeah. That is a forest monastery. It's a practicing monastery, yeah. I mean, when you went to Bantat, you know, I mean, there's no library where you can read and enjoy, you know, I mean, you can learn or where you can study. Yeah? The only thing, you know, you study is, you know, you study yourself. Yeah? You investigate yourself. You investigate the body. And then later on, you know, together with the body, of course, you investigate Dukkha Vedana. I mean, one of the Namakandas feeling. Yeah. A feeling that arises, you know, when we sit for 3 or 6 hours, you know, in meditation, you know, when the dukkha vedana or the painful feelings arise, and then we investigate the painful feeling, understand what is feeling. What is feeling? I mean, we see, that's painful, and then we go, you know, and then we want to get rid of the pain. No, that is not investigation. Investigation is understand. How does it feel? Pain. What is pain? How does it feel like? And once we understand, you know, how we can deal with pain, we can deal with any kind of feeling. Yeah? How does it anger? How does it feel like? Yeah? Lust, how does it feel like? And so on, and so on. But our first object is the investigation of pain. What is pain? How does it feel like? We don't want the pain, and then we cannot investigate. Or we say, I'm in pain, you know, and then we don't investigate it. So we need to use, you know, for feelings, we need to use, or we can also use it for the body, or for all of the khandhas, 5 khandhas, Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankhara, Vinyana, yeah. We can use the principle of anatta, yeah. That's not me. Whatever I can perceive cannot be me, yeah. When we see another person, we know it's not me, yeah. When you see a thought, who sees the thought? Who knows it is a thought? When you see a memory coming up, who knows it is a memory? The memory doesn't know. The memory is just a phenomena. The thought is just a phenomena. Yeah? Feeling is just a phenomena. Huh? Who classifies these feelings? Who classifies these thoughts? Who classifies, you know, being in a memory? Huh? There's something. There's subject and object. The subject knows there's a feeling or there's a memory coming up or there's a thought coming up, yeah, or there's a feeling coming up. But that knowingness is not the feeling. And that's how we separate ourselves, or even that, you know, we do it for the body, we separate ourselves out from the body. There's a body, you know, but the body is not me, yeah. The chitta is the owner of the body, yeah? I mean, it takes the simile of, you know, being born in a car and die in a car and never get out of the car. I mean, you have you probably have the delusion that you are the car, yeah? And that's why people get so afraid when the moment they die, you know, I mean, huh? Yeah, they die. No, the body dies. When you put the car to the scrapyard, you know, then the car is scrapped, but you're looking for the next car, or you're looking for the next body. And depending on the merit or the money you have, you can buy a good car or a bad car, yeah? Or no car at all, yeah? That is hell, yeah? So that's the same thing. Anatta, use the principle of anatta, yeah? To distance yourself. Tell yourself, there's a feeling, there's a thought, there's a memory, and then you can observe it. It comes and it goes. It comes and it goes. You can observe the anicca, yeah? And that is, yeah, that's how we investigate pain. There is pain. How does it feel like? Where is it located? Yeah. Then we go, you know, then we use the same kind that we use for samadhi practice. I mean, when we observe the breath, now we observe the pain. Yeah. And we ask ourselves, where is it? Yeah. Is it in the flesh? Is it in the skin? Is it in the tendons? Is it in the muscle? And don't believe anything that the kilesa throw at you. Yeah, I'm sitting not comfortable. No. I mean, when you go and, you know, have a meal with your friends or have a party with your friend and you sit for hours, you know, there's no pain. Huh? And when you get up, you know, I mean, when you feel extreme pain, you know, you get up, where's the pain? It's gone. What kind of pain is that? Is it magic? Yeah? So, you investigate it, yeah? And, you know, sometimes in the beginning, if you have never done it before, I mean, the moment you concentrate on the pain, it's gone, yeah? Or sooner or later, it's gone, yeah? But then, you know, if you sit long enough, you know, it won't go, yeah? It will switch from one point to the next point, yeah? I mean, before it was your left knee, you know, and then it switches to the right knee, then it goes to the back, then it goes to the neck, it goes anywhere, or to the shoulders, you know. And then, you know, we just go with and follow it and follow it and see where it's actually originating from. And once you see it with your own eyes or, you know, you experience it, you know, within you, yeah, I mean, then you understand what is pain. And then you can address any kind of feeling. You can do it the same way. You feel it. You have to accept it. If you don't accept it, if you want to vanish it, or if you want it to disappear, I mean, the investigation will not bring you any fruits, yeah? So, you have to understand, yeah? You have to accept it, yeah? Feel it, yeah? Feel it through the whole body, you know? How does it feel, yeah? And then later on, you know, once you investigate, you know, quite a few feelings, yeah? I mean, then compare it. How does the feeling, you know, of lust or anger, you know, or greed, you know, how do they differ? Or pain? What's the difference between these feelings? Because we want to understand the delusion that we live in. Because we give, you know, certain labels, you know, we put certain labels on certain feelings or on thoughts or memories, but we don't really know what they are. So we have to go back to the basics. And the basics is to know and to understand, to really feel it, yeah? And then compare it, you know, what is the difference between it? Until we see, you know, it is all, yeah, it all depends on our label. If we like it or dislike it, yeah. It depends on our labels, what kind of labels we put on, yeah. But we don't understand it unless we don't fall for the labels, yeah. As long as we fall for the labels, we will never understand it. That's why we have to investigate, yeah. And we start with pain. Because it's so easy, you know. I mean, and you will be amazed, you know, it's so easy to concentrate on because the mind doesn't want to go away from it, yeah. Not like when we are meditating, you know, when we concentrate on the breath, you know, our thoughts constantly run out. But with the pain, and then the stronger it gets, you know, I mean, the thoughts don't run out, you know. The thoughts, you know, are constantly with the pain, yeah. It's a very good meditation object. So, you understand that. Take the opportunity, you know. Take the opportunity while you're here, yeah. And practice, yeah. And the first thing we have to practice is samadhi, the ability to concentrate on one point, yeah. And to get into samadhi, hopefully to be able to get into samadhi, yeah. And then, you know, I mean, if we sit long enough, I mean, then we can start to investigate pain. But what you should put aside, you know, for half an hour or for an hour a day is, you know, just a simple reflection about your life. Yeah? Go back when you were born. Yeah? Go back, you know, when you went to kindergarten or primary school or secondary school and look at your life. Yeah? Look at the things, yeah? And look at the memories that you have, yeah, about your life, yeah. Well, look at the feelings, the ANC, yeah? And then you can ask yourself, do I want to do this again, over and over and over again? Yeah? Or is it not enough? How many millions, billions, trillions of times have we lived? Yeah? Have we gone from one realm to the next? Yeah? When are we going to get sick of it? When are we going to make the effort, you know, to open the door? That's a question you should ask yourself. Okay? That's enough for today, yeah? This is the, I end the talk, you know, and if you have any questions, yeah? Well, you're welcome to ask them. Yeah? Now, don't focus on the greed that comes up. You know, just see the greed that comes up. But, you know, if you focus there, if you stay with the Buddha, if you stay with the breath, focus on the feeling, the taste on the tongue. Yeah? I mean, there are only seven different tastes, yeah? I mean, all the foods, you know, in all this world, it's just like this big illusion that we live in, yeah? Are made out of seven tastes, yeah? So try, you know. Okay, is it salty? Is it sweet? Is it sour? You know, is it bitter? You know, whatever. Yeah, try to stay with each food. You know, on these on these ingredients. Yeah, that. Yeah, and then there's no greed coming up. Yeah. I mean, because in any kind of food, you know, it's just a mixture, you know, of these seven. Yeah, sometimes there are only five or three ingredients, you know. Huh? There's only bitter, or there's only, you know, or the bitter dominates, you know, and you see it, yeah? We are, you know, we are so, you know, just like with human beings, the picture of it, you know, I mean, and the memory, that the picture and then the memory comes out, that tastes nice, you know, and then we go up in the greed, yeah? But if you stay with the taste, or if you stay with the Buddha, you know, then the greed doesn't come up, yeah? Or you see it, you know, and you let it go, yeah? That is a very helpful thing, yeah? I mean, I had to do this, you know, then I just ate the things that I don't like and didn't eat the things that I like, yeah? I mean, the Kilesas get annoyed. They get really angry, you know, because they don't know how to control you. They control you with likes and dislikes, yeah? It's the same. It's not only with food, you know? Yeah? It's with everything, yeah? Whenever you see, oh, they like something, okay, you go ahead and like it, yeah? You don't like, you know, to do walking meditation, then I do it, you know, and you can stay ahead, yeah? It confuses the Kilesas, and they need to find other ways to control you, yeah? And then the next time you're fooled by the Kilesas again, and then you have to program yourself, you know, to find another trick, you know, to fight them, yeah? But they get confused, yeah? So it's a way, you know, don't overdo it in the beginning, yeah? As I told you, you know, in the beginning you really do need the samadhi where you can actually rest and completely, you know, isolate yourself from this world and have energy, yeah? Then you can do all sorts of things, yeah? Then you can start and play with the Kilesas, yeah? Attack the Kilesas, yeah? But you can do a little bit, yeah? Don't overdo it, you know, because I mean, that is the Western mind. We need to do something. No. We need to understand. We need to look. Yeah. We need to observe. Yeah. That is our main purpose. And observing the tastes on the different tastes, the food, you know, and on the tongue, you know, what kind of taste it is. That is good. Yeah. Okay. Understand? Don't overdo it, you know, because that is how the Kilesas break us, and that's how we give up, yeah? Oh, it's so tough, yeah. Just get, you know, I mean, first get into samadhi and be able to every day at least to get, you know, for half an hour or for an hour into samadhi before you do some real work, yeah? Okay? Yeah? Yeah, Nicholas?
When you're talking about meditation on pain, how does it differ from what they taught in the Burmese tradition, like Goenka, where they ask you to look at the pain and stay with the pain? Is the same kind of work we're doing, or...
Similar. Is it similar? If you look at the pain, the first thing, you know, when you investigate pain, you have to feel it. Feel it like breathing in, you know, if there's a bad smell, you know, in somewhere in the air, breathe it in and feel it through all the body. It's the same thing with the pain. Feel it, yeah, and then, yeah, you ask yourself. I mean, Goenka just makes you look at it. We look at it and then we ask questions. First of all, is it constant, yeah? Or is it changing? So we look at the anicca aspect. And then we see, okay, it's changing. And then we ask, panya, wisdom is only developed through questioning, yeah? So then we ask, yeah, is it in the skin? Yeah? That is the important thing. That is the investigation. Asking the question and not listening to the answers that come. Yeah? Because normally, you know, a normal person would say, oh yeah, it's in my muscles. The pain is in my muscles because I don't sit very comfortable. Yeah? When you go to the movies, you know, and you sit there for 2 hours, there's no pain. Why isn't there half an hour? I just sit half an hour, or some people only 20 minutes and there's pain. Yeah? When I go and have some nice dinner with my friends, I sit for hours, you know, and there's no pain. Yeah? Remember the times, you know, in France, you know, I mean, on Sundays after noon meal, you know, you sit from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, yeah? First have, you know, I was so amazed, you know, because it didn't happen in Germany, yeah? So when I was in a guest family in France, you know, Sundays, yeah? 12 o'clock it starts, you know, and 3 o'clock with coffee and cake, you know, it stops. 3 hours you sit and eat and talk and things like that, yeah? There's no pain, yeah? But then, you know, we sit for half an hour and there's pain. So what is, you know, what is the pain? Where is it exactly? Is it in skin? Is it tendons in the muscle? And don't listen to any of the answers that come from the kilesas, yeah? You don't break your back or you don't, yeah? You don't ruin your body, yeah? You might ruin your body if you jump, you know, jump 10 meters, you know, down on hard earth, yeah? That's when you ruin your body, yeah? But not when you sit, yeah? When you sit comfortable. That's why Lungda Mahabodhi never said, you know, I mean, the Zen tradition, you know, like you to sit in a very straight position. No, sit comfortable, yeah? And you will see, the moment you enter samadhi, the body erects itself because the kilesas have no more power over the body, yeah? It's the kilesas who make you, just like that. We don't move, we don't change our posture, you know, we sit, you know, and then we concentrate on the object, yeah? And the pain, it's the same thing. You ask the question, yeah? And when you come close to the answer that you actually cannot find where the pain actually is located, the pain shifts to another point. And then you go to the next point. And you ask the same questions, yeah? So that is the difference to Goenka. Goenka just wants you to watch it, you know, and see the anicca of it, you know, or anatta or whatever, yeah? But that doesn't lead to wisdom, yeah? Wisdom is done, you know, through concentrating on the object and, yeah, together with the sati and asking the questions, yeah? And the heart knows the answers, yeah? Once there are no more answers from the kilesas, yeah, then it is very quiet, you know, and then a knowledge might come up. And that's the answer the heart gives you. And this answer is correct. But it's not as loud and noisy, you know, as the answers from the kilesas. Ah, yeah, I'm breaking my leg, you know. I'm ruining my body when I sit for half an hour. These are the answers of the kilesas. Huh? Or I strain my muscles, or I strain my leg, yeah. These are answers that come from the kilesas. Huh? So, okay? Any more questions? Okay, then we use the time, yeah? We use the time to go and back and practice, yeah? You understand from England? A little bit?
Yes, I can, but I'm very good for meditation.
What? You're, what?
It's very good to listen.
To listening?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, yeah.